than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the Ravens are back from Oakland, and I think they came back with a win. That's right. And I think it's time to bench Joe Flacco. What do you guys think?
I think we should bench Joe Flacco. He sucks. The team didn't really gel well. I don't know. He said he sucks and he continued to suck. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Obviously, it was the opposite. Bro, I'm happy to put the heaters to rest. I mean, me and you kind of, you know, agree with it. I mean, there's a difference, and we had the string of listeners, as you've seen on the Call Facebook page. We kind of like supported Joe for so long, and then we're kind of like the rubber met the road. We were like, that's it. Didn't you feel the same way?
I mean, there was a lot of people saying, this is it, Joe. I mean, come on. It's time for you to know what you're doing. You've been in the league this long. I was sick with the way Joe was playing the last 2 weeks. But Joe being Joe, here he comes out in Oakland, and he's looking like an MVP quarterback. I mean, maybe the biggest concern all us Joe Flacco fans or haters or whatever have is the fact that he's just so inconsistent, because 1 week he looks like he's never played football before, and then the next week he looks like a Super Bowl MVP.
Well, the same could be said for the other AFC North counterpart, Ben Roethlisberger. What was that about?
That's right. Yeah, you sent me a very funny picture of him as Pennywise. Instead of it, he was INT.
So you kick out of that, man.
Five interceptions for Big Ben last Sunday.
But see, here's the thing. Just look at this scenario here. I mean, and just level with me here for a second. Look at how the AFC is just so wide open. I mean, this is my perspective, man. You see the NFC – or not NFC, AFC East taking shape. The Patriots are in third place technically right now. Third place after five games. Who would have thought that? But if you look at the way they've been playing football, if the kicker from Tampa Bay could have actually kicked a field goal, they would have lost that game. And if they didn't come back against Houston, the Patriots could be 1-4 right now, bro. Put another thing in perspective. Jacksonville Jaguars, the common denominator that ties the Ravens and Steelers together. We get trounced 44-7 across the pond. I don't think it's a coincidence that they beat them 30-9. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are up and coming, and we better beware, because it's funny. We take these teams for granted. We make fun of them. Oh, they're the Jacksonville. They win like three games every year. But, dude, you know, you're bad for so long. Look at the Rams. You get bad for so long, and then they just turn a tide. And what I want to bring this up too, at least Joe Flacco's not saying, I don't have it anymore. I mean, we know Ben Roethlisberger was really seriously contemplating retirement in the offseason before the season began. But see, Joe Flacco calls himself out. Yeah, I sucked. Brandon, you could probably agree that you've had a bad day at work, right?
Oh, plenty.
Plenty. Me too. There's days where I show up and I'm like, my mojo's going. I'm like, I need to just wake up. All the coffee in the world, the caffeine in the world couldn't right the ship, couldn't make me energized. It's just some days I just want to go back to bed and restart and hit the restart button. We all get there. Every last one of us that is in earshot of this podcast has a bad day at work, including these NFL players. So when Joe Flacco says, you know what, I sucked. But hey, at least he didn't suck so bad where he threw five picks and go, you know what? Maybe I'm done. Maybe I don't have it. I at least still love the confidence in Joe Flacco to say he calls himself out. Everybody holds himself accountable, but look what he did. He called himself out, said he sucked. They wrote the ship, and Mike Wallace was vocal. He was the one that was clamoring for, I want deep passes, and he revealed in a post-game interview that he talked to Mardar Week, and it was in the playbook that no matter what, their first play of the game was a deep shot. But how did this set the tune for the game? A 52-yard pass to Mike Wallace to set the tune, and he went right down and scored. Dude, it was like, where was this team 2 weeks ago?
Mike Wallace, I've been on this podcast saying how much I miss Mike Wallace and how I don't think he has it anymore and everything. But the last 2 weeks, Mike Wallace has been a pretty big deciding factor of this offense. I mean, maybe I don't know what it is. I mean, him and Joe weren't on the same page but the first couple weeks, but it seems like they've been working together a little bit more, maybe at the castle, and Mike Wallace is doing what he was brought here to do, and that's stretch the field.
Absolutely, man, and it's working out to a T, and everybody felt like they're getting involved. I mean, you know, it's just Mike Wallace was there, Macklin was there, and Joe looked different. I looked at my friends, and I was like looking at the game in itself, and I'm like, just everybody around me, I was like, they had that different reaction to the game. It was like, look, Joe was making every throw. He was standing in the pocket. I even heard, I don't know what play it was, but I heard through the grapevine, man, on social media that apparently he called audible. I don't know where it was or what play it was, but it's just, remember that third, it was a crucial third down where it was like, where we got complacent. We were up 21-3, and it seemed like the third quarter was a drag, but it was a crucial third down play. I think it was in the fourth quarter, maybe late in the third, where it was like third and seven, third and eight, and Flacco stood deep in the pocket. He kind of eluded the pressure, stepped up, and threw a bullet, and I think it was Macklin who caught the first down. It was incredible, dude. Like, he looked like a different quarterback, and let me tell you this. What about that athletic play where it looked like he was going to get sacked and, like, get creamed, and then all of a sudden he throws the first down to Macklin? Where did that come from?
That was the Joe Flacco of old, man. That was the get it done no matter what Joe Flacco. And when I saw that, like, I jumped out of my seat. Let me tell you, it's been weird the last couple weeks in Baltimore watching the game. I went to a place down in the city. I was the only Ravens fan there at game time. So, like, it was really weird for me to jump up and scream and be all excited when no one else was paying attention. But when Joe did that, I couldn't help myself. I had to stand up and cheer and clap my hands because Joe, he missed a couple sacks. He's moving all over the place. He throws the ball. And I was kind of going, oh, he's just throwing it away. Joe does that all the time. But no, he made a completion to Macklin. That was fantastic.
He sure did, dude, and it was play after play like that, and everybody was making plays, especially on defense. How about the defense coming up with a defensive touchdown finally, a turnover? It felt like the first turnover in ages. And how about the fumble and the scoop up by Jimmy Smith? How about a week from Jimmy Smith, man? He has the birth of his second child and then has a career game, and it was like on point this week, man. Night and day, dude. Night and day. Another road win, an important win, dude. I mean, they had – There was an article on Ravens.com that were saying it was a season-saving win. I firmly believe that because you can't go 2-3 down like that. I mean, we're a half a game out. If the Steelers would have just lost to us, you know, if we'd have beat them, basically, we would have been half a game up. But, I mean, that knew that game was all important. But, and now, week five, my friend, I'm not trying to get ahead, but just think about this. The AFC is important. There's a lot of teams at 3-2. Three teams in the AFC East that are 3-2. But, basically, because of how the strength of schedule, how the conference schedule falls, and I hate to say this now in week five, man, you might slap me for it, but if the playoffs were to start today, the Ravens would be in the playoffs. It's crazy as it sounds. So just got to keep it going, man. We're right there. I mean, we're 3-2, and everybody's feeling like we're all hope is lost. Again, you can't compare years, but Super Bowl year, the Ravens were 5-4 and ran off seven straight wins. So, I mean, it can happen. You know, the winning streaks happen, losing streaks happen, but how about just looking at the AFC, man? Both the Raiders and Ravens started 2-0. Raiders are now three-game losing streak. Pittsburgh looks anemic. You know, there's a lot of teams that are in trouble, dude. It's wide open.
It really is, and it's not just the AFC North or anything like that. The entire NFL, we're kind of like in uncharted territory right now because there is not one team dominating, really. I guess maybe you could say the Kansas City Chiefs. They've looked pretty dominant.
The Chiefs, Eagles, and basically the Panthers, I think, are the top three teams in the league right now. I mean, the Panthers were doing this week, you know, the Red Eye Review on what, Tuesday? We know the Eagles and Panthers play later in the week. They're both going to score up for 4-1, but just look at it. The Chiefs are running away with it. But I'm going to tell you this, that Monday night game, man, I mean, I hate to just bounce around, but there's things are coming to mind, but how about Houston, dude? Where did this Deshaun Watson guy just get – they call lightning in a bottle with him, man. It wasn't a fluke that they won a national title in Clemson, but the dude – threw another five touchdowns on Sunday night, and they still lost. Think about that.
And I really thought that Houston was over. I mean, J.J. Watt's hurt, correct? I mean,
Yep, he's out for the year. So, see, it's not just us. I mean, we complain now that IR list grows for our team, but look at the Giants. They lost all three receivers on Sunday, including Beckham for the year. And just think about that. And they're 0-5. I mean,
somebody posted on Twitter that famous photo where it looked like the Giants were shooting the cover of a Boyz II Men album where they're all like sitting on the front of the boat, and they said that this picture was taken 280 days ago, the last time the Giants won a game. So I don't know, maybe they got some witchcraft or something when they took that photo. The flash went off and a spell was cast or something. But man,
I love your superstitious angles on things, man. I love it. It is October. It is Halloween. Friday the 13th this week. I wouldn't put it past you to put some hex together for the Giants. I love it. Maybe we can do that for the Steelers here, and they don't win a game for the rest of the year.
I'd be fine with that. But let's talk about, you said, you know, injury reserves or injuries are all over the place. Terrence West got taken out of the game.
Right.
They're saying that there was good news on the MRI, but he was going to miss time, just not a significant amount of time. And let me ask you, so we have Alex Collins, we have Buck Allen, and the Ravens recently re-signed Bobby Rainey. So, I mean, the injury is bad enough for them to re-sign another player, add him to the 53-man roster. But we don't know how long it's going to be. What does it mean to have Terrence West out of this offense going forward?
It's going to be a huge part of the running game because he obviously was a clear-cut starter. And I don't know if I tweeted this out early or what happened in the game, but they were announcing the starting lineups, and Alex Collins, I thought, got the starting nod because you know how like they do in every NFL game. They announce like the starting unit for each team, offense, defense, and vice versa. And they said Alex Collins, and then like the next play, Terrence West was in. So I don't know if Alex Collins had like the first two plays and then West got in, but it creates the notion of you want to have those fresh legs. A lot of teams nowadays go to those feature, you know, split backs. Now, instead of the feature back, they go to the split backs, maybe even put three in there, as we know, the triple head threat. So basically what it comes down to is with West out now, it just becomes a lot harder. It's almost like an uphill battle with the running game. Here's another injury, and just here we go again. But as it proved, I mean, I hate to not, you know, just throw West on the bus and say, okay, well, West is hurt. Now let's talk about who's there. But look at Alex Collins again, dude. Like, he got the ball and just started motoring, and he didn't fumble. So the dude, just a breath of fresh air. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if the dude's just playing for a contract. He could be. I believe he could be. Yeah, I think he could be. I don't know what kind of – if he's under a one-year contract with the Ravens, but I'm going to look into that. But he's just running with a possessed energy. And I mean, West hurt. It hurts us because we're already down Woodhead. We're already down West. So you figure two to three starting running backs this year, man, are gone. So then you're right. We have the reserve start, you know, pull Bobby Rainey out. We have Buck Allen. We have Alex Collins. As long as nobody else gets hurt, we're going to be like the Green Bay Packers, man, and not have any running backs. So you're going to have Michael Campanera running the football for you. It's going to be dire straits. So let's knock on wood here that no more running backs get hurt.
And, you know, it definitely sucks because, like, I saw it as, like, you know, we've said it, three-headed monster with the running game. You had Alex Collins there who was going to get you a lot of yardage, who could, you know, has those spurts of speed. And then with Terrence West, I liked using Terrence West when it was, like, when you had 3 or 4 yards you had to get. Because he's right. A little bit bulkier. He's got a little bit more force behind him, so he can kind of break through where Alex Collins might not be able to. So, I mean, I'm intrigued to see what happens. Because Bobby Rainey, I don't think, is the same like body type as Terrence West. So I'm intrigued to see what happens with Bobby Rainey in the mix. I did like Bobby Rainey years ago when he was with the Ravens originally. I was happy he was coming back. But I don't know. Terrence West, it seems like he might just be out 1 or 2 weeks, maybe 3. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a Brandon Williams type injury. So, yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens next with this. But hopefully Terrence West isn't gone for too long of a time. So I think there was another injury in the game, but I don't think it was anything major, wasn't it? Carl Davis got taken out for a little bit.
Yeah, Carl Davis got – it was just a minor injury. He's zinged up. He's not going to miss any significant time. So, you know, thank God he's not on the IR and just following the trend of the triage here. But it just seems like it's just every week. It's just somebody was on IR and we have to get the unfortunate news, whether they're watching the game or get the text notification during the week. It's somebody's out for the year. Somebody's out for the year. It seems like, you know, we play a game, 16 games a year. It seems like we're going to lose at least one player a game. So you figured 53 men start the season. You figured 16 at least are going to IR because it just seems like every game. But it's it's just like, but again, you see the trend. We talked about the Giants lost three receivers, J.J. Watt out, and Derek Carr obviously was out in the game. And that's something I want to talk about is too, is I really think that Derek Carr obviously got the contract. He was well deserving of it. And I feel like, there you go, you take out one of their best players and they looked anemic. I mean, apart from a few flash plays and a breakdown play where Michael Crabtree got free, they kept the Raiders in check. So I really felt like going against E.J. Manuel really was what the Ravens needed at this point. It kind of was a lucky break. I mean, sometimes you got to get lucky. Sometimes you can't, you always joke about when you play the Steelers, like, you know, if Ben's hurt or Antonio Brown's hurt or Bell's out, it's like you want to beat them with their best weapon so you can say you beat them. But to me, win's a win. Whether you can gain an edge, whether somebody gets hurt and he's not seriously hurt and he's coming back. I mean, Carr's coming back. He's not gone for the year. So, I mean, you don't want to wish these guys hurt, but if you can get some lucky breaks, that was a very lucky break for the Ravens to go against Oakland in Oakland with no Derek Carr. I feel like the Ravens could have lost that. And I just had that feeling. That's why I predicted them, and they raked the ship. I mean, everything was trending downward for the Ravens. They looked horrible. They looked like they didn't want to play football anymore. And then they got on the West Coast and were, like, rejuvenated. It was like, what happened? Like, they looked like they were having fun. The defense was, like, doing little dances. And, I mean, they looked like they were a well-oiled machine again, like the first two games. So it's like, why can't they do that at home? And I expect them to carry that to this weekend against the Bears at home, because they got to do it. I mean, we have a chance to get 4-2 and real awesome wins. You go 5-2, you don't want to get ahead. But what's coming up here on the horizon, the Ravens could put themselves in a position to play some good, wholesome football in November and December. But I think October needs to be a good winning month all around. Man, but it's a great start. I love it. Everything they did was just like on point. I mean, just keeping up at bay. The only thing I didn't like was, and you could probably agree with me, I don't think you would disagree on this point and statement, but I don't like the fact that how we get up so early, like so big early, and then the Ravens do what they do best. They sit on that lead, and we were talking about that during watching the game. It's like they just sit and get complacent, and they kind of let the Raiders hung around. I was getting nervous there for a minute, dude. When Beast Mode entered the end zone, I was like, dude, here we go. It's going to be a tie game for me, know it, and we're going to probably go into overtime, or Justin Tucker's going to kick a game-winning field goal. So I just felt like the game got away a little bit, and they stopped doing what they're doing. But again, they had the game in hand from the start and a wire-to-wire win.
Yeah, and I agree with you, absolutely. They definitely look like they let the Raiders kind of hang around a little bit. They didn't, they didn't take them out when they could. So that's definitely something I think Harbaugh is going to be addressing. But it also could show some of the age of some of the players as well, because they got a little bit tired towards the end. But I don't know, maybe it was they weren't focused. We'll see what happens in the future. But I agree with you. They definitely need to work on that clock management and make sure that they play the full 60 minutes. But you brought it up. You know, the Ravens went to Oakland. Did you notice how empty that stadium was? I could not believe that the upper deck of that entire stadium, at least where the hard camera is, where you can see the Raiders logo, was completely empty. I felt bad for Oakland losing their team to Vegas, but after seeing that stadium the way it is, like, I don't blame them for relocating, because there's really not an audience there willing to watch them.
No, and that's why I always go back to that old adage when I was speaking to Dustin last week and brought up what he said. You don't want to take it for granted, and this is why the Ravens pour money into the stadium, and this is why our ticket prices are why they are. People might complain and cry and moan and not understand that, but you realize that if we didn't do that, we would look like that, and the reason why the Browns moved to Baltimore in the first place and the reason why teams move, it's stadiums. It's you don't give us the home we need. You don't give us the amenities. I mean, they need to keep that up. Why do you think stadiums are being – look? Why do you think the Georgia Dome is being torn down? Why do you think the Falcons got a brand-new stadium? Why do you think the Vikings got a brand-new stadium? Which, because they were going to be leaving Minnesota. Remember that a couple years ago? Minnesota gave them a new stadium.
Right.
I'm going to be going there in 2 weeks. It's the same thing. Soldier Field got renovated. Lambeau Field got some upgrades. You know, so it's like if you don't keep your home, and it's like your home, man. What if you and your parents and all that, what if your family didn't keep your home intact and didn't do maintenance and all that? Your home would fall apart, right? No one would want to come over, and you would almost want to move or relocate because your house is falling apart. Same thing. They got to take care of that, and you're right. It was sad, and it's crazy to think about, but like I told you, cherish the moment, because – that was our last game possibly in Oakland as a football franchise, because the next time we probably play an away game at Raiders, it's on the Las Vegas Strip somewhere. So it's crazy to think that, but that's what's coming to fruition in here. But you're right. It's they clamor, oh, don't take my team, don't take my team. But it's the same thing with the Chargers. The Chargers in L.A. cannot fill the smallest stadium in the NFL. Just think about that. The Rams are outdoing them
in L.A. The new team.
No one wants to go to football in L.A. You know what the old adage is, man. And I see, not to say the Dolphins fans or Tampa Bay fans aren't passionate or they don't go to games. I was there for a Miami Dolphins game. I know a lot of great Dolphins fans. They have rich history. You know, Dan Marino's 72 season.
John Shula.
That's right. You got to find your pets, dude. You got to find your pets. Alrighty then. But I love that, man. I love that movie. It's a classic. And but my whole thing is, I always hear the when I hear sports talk radio, and they always joke, there's better things to do in LA than go to a football game on a sunny Sunday afternoon. And I'm like, I think about that, and I'm like, you're probably right. Especially the rich environment. It's Los Angeles. You know, it's more known for, you know, the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Clippers. Like, you just think about those other teams out there, and it's like, but yeah, the LA Rams were there before. There was football there previously. They have college football abundant down there, but it's LA. And with two teams, I feel like it's saturated. I hate it when cities do that and split the teams. I never know how it works anyway. I would hate to see if Baltimore had two football teams. How would that work out? So you're right, dude. It was sad to see the stadium half full. But I know there's a lot of Ravens fans there. I looked on a lot of the Ravens groups that I'm involved in on Facebook, and a lot of people I follow nationwide. A good amount of people that I actually follow on Facebook and talk to on a weekly basis actually went to the game out there west. So it was great.
That's very cool. So, I mean, the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. Las Vegas has been in the news a lot recently, but I thought I would bring this up because this is actually pretty cool. Ronnie Stanley, who is from the Las Vegas area, I didn't know that. He put on Instagram that he was going to be playing, and he wrote Vegas Strong on his cleats. And he said that for every passing play, I don't give up a sack, pressure, or hurry. He will be donating $1,000 to the victims and their families of the Vegas tragedy from 2 weeks ago. And he was a part of 27 passing plays, and he made a block on 26 of the 27 plays, giving one of the best performances of his season so far. So he will be donating $26,000 to the Las Vegas victims and their families. So
That is incredible, dude. And you know the work he does around here for the dog charities. I mean, he's an avid all over and see what he did with the rescue dogs. But I'm happy you brought that up because it segues right to my next point, bro. You're right on point, man. Hey, you're sharp as the Ravens were last Sunday, man. Good job. you must have looked at my notes. I don't know if you just knew that. But speaking of that, Ryan Jensen also had the top overall grade as a center. He had 94.5 overall grade, zero pressures allowed, and 26 passing blocking snaps. Again, you know, if he was right there with the Vegas Strong, he would have donated 26 for himself. So, again, you know, Ronnie Stanley and Jensen, I mean, we talk about our line and we kind of, so you know, we make fun of them a little bit because it's, you know, we don't have Yonda and we take it for granted. But they held strong, man. And, I mean, Flacco wasn't even really pressured all day. And remember the one time he actually, I think he was, he got out of it like a magician and completed a pass for first down. So I felt like Flacco was clean. And see what happens when you have a clean pocket. I was shouting at the TV on Thursday night. The Buccaneers were in Brady's warehouse. I'm like, see, Brady's only good as his line. Peyton Manning was always as good as his line. And Ben, I don't know if his line was attributed to the 5 picks. I only saw the highlights. I didn't watch the game, you know, and really dive into why that was. But, you know, I've always said this, and you agree. The line, it makes everything go. You have to hold your lanes to run block. You have to keep the quarterback clean, give him time to throw. And I felt like even the times he was pressured, Flacco handled it well. He stepped up, made crisp throws. Everybody was on point. And I'm like, it's just like crazy, man. It was like that in Super Bowl year. They get trounced by the Broncos. And then the Giants come into town, and you'll hear it on the America's Game. Ray Lewis even echoed it. He said every pass was thrown, every tackle was made. It was like the team was sharp, and it's like it's a week-to-week league, and I said that all week this week. Everybody's like, where'd your Ravens come from? I'm like, bro, it's week-to-week. You don't know what's going to happen.
No, absolutely not. So this was a fun game to watch. This was a fun one to be a part of and to talk about. But, Josh, have we covered everything?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about this show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Don't forget to go check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Josh, he got on on game day, did a little Facebook Live video with you guys.
I think it inspired the team. I was just feeling it that morning. I woke up, I was watching NFL Network, and I'm like, I'm fired up. I'm going to put a video out. Just I wanted to rant. And I think it worked because we won.
Hey, I think it
worked. Not to say
too.
I helped.
But if you guys got questions you want to ask directly to Josh, because let's face it, Josh is the social media guy. He's probably going to be the one to hop on Facebook Live where I won't.
Yeah, you sleep in like 12:30 and when it's a 1 o'clock game. I know what you do.
I like to sleep. Maybe not that much, but, you know.
You're old.
But Josh is going to be the guy there, and it's pretty cool. So, I mean, he'll maybe hop on one night during the week or whatever and talk to you guys, or Sunday morning. I mean, everybody's watching game day morning or something like that. And ask him directly. Ask him questions, that kind of stuff. So Facebook Live's the place to do it. Also, we share footage and photos and all other kinds of stuff. We find interesting news articles, all kinds of stuff about the Ravens. So go over to Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast, and like us over there. So that's pretty much it for the Red Eye Review this week. We got something special for you guys coming up on Purple Friday. Josh and I will be guests on a Chicago Bears podcast, and those guys are going to reciprocate and be on our show as well. So if you guys want to check that out, we will keep you posted. And they are called Da Bear Brothers, Da Bears, and you can check them out at dabearsbros.com. We will be appearing on their show later this week. They will be on the Purple Friday preview to talk Ravens and Bears with us. So we got something very special for you guys coming up later in the week. You're definitely going to want to check that out. So, Josh, it's time. The Red Eye Review is over. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. Another great installment of The Call. Guys, we're back on the winning track. It feels great to talk about, man. We did not want to be on that end of a three-game losing streak there and being 2-3. It feels much better being on the right side of things. And AFC North race, we've got to keep in, man, because the Bengals, believe it or not, they're right there. I hate to say it, but they were 0-3. Now they won two straight. They're 2-3. Ravens and Steelers are tied up at 3-2. It was a great win to keep pace in AFC, not only in our division, but the whole conference. You got to get back to winning football, and it was, I believe, like it was echoed. I think it was a season-saving win, as we discussed. And we just need to get back to that. We need to find that fire. Everybody looked like they're having fun. Everybody was doing their job. As always, just try to get that out there. Just do your job. It's not hard. I mean, we think it throwing a football and everything's easier and all that, but just do your job. Make the block, make the play. They're not perfect, but we just need to win more games than we need to lose. We'll get there, guys. It's steadfast football. Moving on to week six. Week five's in the books. I hate to say it, but man, we're already over a quarter away this season. But the second quarter has begun of the NFL season and the Ravens season in general as well. We're 1-0 in the second quarter. We had a crazy first quarter of the season, and we're going to get back to it. Back to the M&T Bank Stadium, and we're going to be facing a Da Bears team. We'll get rest up. Until then, Purple Friday preview, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this.